The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my brother, main advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Layla. No, it's me, Justin. It's Justin.
Okay. I'm your middlest brother, Travis, big dog, woof, woof, Layla.
Oh, my God.
What is
to it? Go this is Griffin. To go behind the bit, somebody was like, hey, let's do an intro about Eric Clapton. And I, without knowing, like... okay, I guess the man's written quite a few songs, and I can figure out something to talk about here. I was like, yeah, sure, let's Clapton it up, baby. And then while my brothers were introducing themselves, I did Google the gentleman's name and did find out that he has released, I would say, the Independent calls it a controversial new anti-lockdown anthem, This Has Gotta Stop. Ooh. That sounds fucking good.
Huh. This has gotta stop, enough is enough. I can't take this BS any longer. It's gone far enough. You wanna claim my soul? You'll have to come and break down this door. I knew that something was going on wrong when you started laying down the law. I can't move my hands. I break out in sweat. I wanna cry. Can't take it anymore.
Okay, cut.
It's the most sort of like, listen, here's the thing. We don't know exactly what we're upset about, but we know we're upset about it.
I'm going to break down in tears because I can't take off my mask. Well, the whole time I'm at the California Pizza Kitchen, your song sucks shit, dude.
You're protesting that someone asked you to just like chill at home? Like,
I'm mad because they won't come to all my great Eric Clapton concerts.
This is like if during like the Blitzkrieg, someone in London had been like, it's bullshit that they're making us stay inside. And like, hey, that's not the problem. You know that is a solution to a bigger problem, right? You know that, right?
Oh, my God. He just sucked. He's so wild. He sucked for a long time. This is not new, by the way. Eric Clapton has sucked for quite some time.
The jazz man?
Yeah, he had he's got a new song out because enough's enough with this COVID stuff. And you know what? On that front,
yeah,
I'm with it. I think we can all get behind him on that thing. Because if it had been like, can we just get it together? If the song was like,
hey, COVID sucks and we need to do whatever we need to do to stop it. But instead, it's like, COVID sucks. But also, I miss breathing on people.
Yeah. I love that special Eric Clapton way. I breathe on.
Hey, if I don't breathe on people, I can't feel alive. This is BS, you guys.
I love to breathe on people, and
if I can't huff other people's breath, am I even Eric Clapton anymore?
My God, Eric Clapton, what a weird like. And one last thing.
I love 100% of Eric Clapton shit without fail.
Thanks to everybody who's enjoyed my whole thing over the many, many years. Now, if I can just say one quick thing. I
I know what you're thinking. Is this going to be a song about how I look like the guy who invented Atari and everybody in my band looks like that guy too? And the answer is no. It's going to be a whole. It's going to be a whole fucking anti-COVID like protection thing.
We're all anti-COVID.
We're all anti-COVID, Eric.
I just hope that this leads to a bunch of like controversial but very maybe Billy Joel will release a song called "Remember When We Used to Smoke on Planes," and it'll just be about like how much Billy Joel hates, and he doesn't even smoke, but he thinks it's bullshit that other people can't. You know,
this fucking dude last year, by which I mean Eric Clapton, did a track with Van Morrison that was called "Stand and Deliver," that was also about lockdown woes.
And
part of me wonders if they actually got together to collab on that track, or if these two fucking dinguses wrote two separate anti-COVID lockdown songs that they just realized, hey, if you play these at the same time, they fucking harmonize because we're both fucking smooth brain jasmine idiots.
Eric Clapton's song should have been released, and the whole thing was just about like, I wish I had some hobbies besides huffing other people's breath and standing on a stage. Does anyone know how to knit? Could you teach me about sourdough? Because I'm bored as shit.
You guys want to hear some of the comments?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to.
They say to always read the comments.
Yeah. Wait, on what platform are you reading these comments?
Good question.
YouTube.
Okay. Yeah.
That's on his official video. These are people that have wandered into the fucking, like...
You don't think they sought it out, Justin? You think they just stumbled into Eric Clapton's anti-lockdown song?
I mean, I found it somehow. This is not important. Here's the important thing. Thanks, Eric. Great job.
Mm. Awesome.
Excellent song and brave message. Nice energy and bounce to it.
This one's good. This one, you're fucking... This one bounces.
This one's got a bounce.
Oh, I could grind on the dance floor to this song enough's enough about this COVID stuff. Also, bold message? Is it...
It's just a bold message. Okay. Congratulations on your attitude.
That sounds sarcastic.
Congratulations on your attitude?
Congratulations on your good attitude.
That sounds like something a 12-year-old says in the heat of the moment when they can't think of like a good retort. And then it's just like, oh, yeah, well, congratulations on your attitude.
Here's one. It says, yes, new Clapton. Wow, this song was absolutely horrible and propaganda.
I don't know if they were timing that like as listening to it. Like, yes, a new joint from Eric Clapton.
Okay, just these comments are saying, "Hey Pfizer, do you listen?"
What?
Hey Pfizer, do you listen? I guess to this song. To Eric Clapton?
Hi, my name's Jeremy Pfizer, and oh shit, yeah, the jazz man's got a new track out. Let me just pipe right in. Oh shit. Hey guys, you gotta come listen to this. Have we fucked up pretty bad?
Now, here's the interesting. Apparently, I've not watched the full video for the song. The video also includes like imagery of a world on fire, and so it's like anti-lockdown, but also pro like environmental reforms?
Yeah.
Mixed messages.
Fuck yeah, let's get into this now. Fuck yeah, this is a gift that keeps on giving. New Yorker did do a send up, a little political cartoon by Barry Blitt called Eric Clapton, Enough is Enough. And the subtitle says, the listening party for Eric Clapton's new protest song. And it's an unflattering image of Mr. Clapton. And then you got, let's see, Jim Jordan and Louis Gomer in Kiss makeup. You got Daffy Duck, a Brachiosaurus, Van Morrison, Goofy, Bozo, and several iguanodons.
Got him again.
End of joke. What's that? Okay, Goofy is a fucking emblem of an idiot. Bozo, a clown, right? Van Morrison, we have covered my feelings about this gentleman. What the fuck did Daffy Duck... What the fuck is Daffy... Is Daffy Duck notably anti-vax?
No, like, if anything, Daffy Duck is the one I appreciate the most in the Mickey Mouse universe because he's the one to say, like, this is dumb. Like, Goofy will throw up some dumb bullshit and Donald's like, no!
And I have sympathy for Goofy because Goofy doesn't know. And Goofy gets on the internet and he sees somebody saying, like, Bill Gates wants a microchip. And then you're like, okay, well, I did read
it. You guys hear about this? No,
but
Goofy...
Daffy Duck fucking Daffy doesn't need to subscribe to that.
No. And also, why bring the fucking Brachiosauruses into this? What did they do?
For they had
real.
A rough go of it.
Yeah.
Let's let them.
Several iguanodons.
I get that. Those fuckers. That tracks.
Ugh. Guanodons.
I feel like I should. This has felt venti.
No, it's fine.
This feels venti. I feel like
you feel like we're punching down at Eric Clapton.
Well, no, I mean, no. I mean, no. It's like kind of sideways. I bet we're about
finish it.
I mean, I'm the guy that uploaded Barry's and Creed to TikTok. I feel like I'm about equal with Eric Clapton.
Yeah,
this
sure.
One.
Yeah,
27,000 times that has been used.
We're sitting next to them on the airplane and like violently fighting over the armrest, just very passive aggressively. Yeah. That's us and Eric Clapton for sure.
For sure, for sure. And we're masked and he's not. It's important to note. So.
The fucking gutless headlines of the people, except for the fucking New Yorker who came in and was like, look at this fucking doofus. He loves Daffy Duck. All the other ones are like, let's see. Guitar website, which is called guitar.com, I guess. Eric Clapton's new single, This Has Gotta Stop, seemingly voices his anti-vax sentiment.
No fuck.
Does it?
Daily News. Eric Clapton appears to criticize COVID restrictions in song. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but at the part where he's like, AstraZeneca, I don't trust you. It's like, I think
let's talk about this for a second, Eric. Let's talk about your bad boy anthem here.
Uh-huh.
How does bad boy statement. Anthem where the third line is, I can't take this BS any longer.
Yep.
Oh, damn, dude, fucking zinged him. Did you say BS?
Got him.
I remember fucking when Dylan was like lighting shit up in the 60s, like, this BS from the
These jerkwads have done enough with my privacy.
I'm
real
sick of
turds.
All of this crap.
And I'm like, not cool.
Everybody in the audience, if you're sick of this crap doo-doo, let me hear you. Put one hand in the air.
It's like when Rage Against the Machine was like, hey, F you. I won't do what you tell me. You know what I mean? It's like, whoa,
yeah,
strong language.
Some of those that work forces are real stinkers.
Are real pills.
Like, Eric, what is happening to you? Like, because if, just like, I live in West Virginia, and everything just seems to be progressing as normal here. I see no souls being claimed. Everybody's just kind of going bumper room on it over here in West Virginia. I don't know, man. I don't know what it's like over there. I don't know who's trying to steal your freedom.
Yeah.
Because if you're talking about the freedom to, like, do concerts... Well, on this one, Eric, I think that, you know, bud, it sucks. It sucks, don't it? It's pretty bad to keep wanting to do a show, and it's not safe to do the show. I wish Eric had just called me to complain about it rather than having to do a song about it. Because now he's taking your freedom, Eric.
Do you think that the first draft of the song was like, it sucks that I don't get to do concerts, but I do understand. And then someone's like, I don't think that's bold enough, Eric. And he's like, oh, got it. Let me take another pass at it. This is BS.
He doesn't even have the guts to like say what the, like,
the song
all
is
this, like, just what the song's about.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, yeah, it's the most limp, like, I just wish it's like, it's the passive voice protest song.
Yes.
It's like, be nice if it stops.
Yeah, I'm sick of it or whatever.
I'm not going to agree with what you're saying. Like,
it feels like something like that uncle would post on Facebook, but then not like respond to any of the comments from people like, what do you mean? He's like,
yeah, it would be like if instead of this song was titled Cocaine, if he had called it like Silly Stuff.
It's all right. Fun dust.
Mr. Clapton, did you write a song about cocaine?
What?
No, right. It's called Fun Dust.
It's different.
Could be anything.
Could be anything. Well, unspun cotton candy powder.
It sounds like a cover of the song Cocaine that you did not write. Yeah, no, I know, but I switched it with Fun Dust so it could mean anything.
Can we? Okay, I have.
This
I have,
is. Ooh, it's getting a little war with Grandpa, you though, because we're at 16 minutes.
Yeah, we gotta wrap it up. Although ironically, we are currently at war with Grandpa. To be fair, is there a way that this song? Okay, is there a way that we can reclaim the hit song? This Has Gotta Stop, to make it about something else, because it's so sort of empty and hollow. What is something that we can rage against with these
Let me look at the lyrics here.
Yeah, just imagine the most boring boring, pointless sentiment you can.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah, okay. Uh-huh, okay, yeah. This is gotta stop, enough is enough. How about, I just bought a top. I just bought a top, and it fits really great. And it's just about a good shopping trip that he had. That would be a bolder stance, I think, than the one he's taking here.
No, I don't think it's salvageable.
And if we did reclaim it. Oh, I can't take this IBS anymore. And it's about finding. We have to find a cure for IBS.
Is there a way to do it without changing the lyrics? We just decide it's about something else.
Okay, wait. I can't take this IBS anymore. It's gone far enough. You want to claim my soul? You have to come and break down the story. Yeah, okay. So this is about your friends are like, hey, you're watching too much NCIS. And you're like, I'll never watch enough NCIS. You'll have to come and break down this door if you want to take away NCIS from me. And that would be a bolder statement than what he's saying here.
Mm.
This is an advice show where we help people. And I fear that he may be beyond that point, beyond our powers, our considerable advice-giving powers. Hello, brothers. Jacket hanging up at my work.
I feel like you guys didn't respond to that.
But
I'm reading.
It's an email.
Okay.
Hello, brothers.
Hello.
There's a jacket hanging up at my work that, as far as anyone knows, is ownerless. But is it odorless? Someone must have left it there when they quit. It's been like 8 months at this point. Thing is, it's a pretty cool jacket. It won't fit me, but it would fit my friend, and they would definitely like the style. I've asked my coworkers, and no one has claimed it as theirs. So it's just sort of in limbo, hanging on a shelf, untouched. Can I take this jacket, and how do I do it without being weird? That's from the Sierra Nevada jacket snatcher. Now, this is the kind of thing where, is there a picture?
No.
Did they include a picture?
Probably not.
No, no picture included.
The only reason that a picture would sort of put any English on this ball is if the jacket was like the fucking Scorpion Bomber jacket from Drive. Like some real Ed Hardy trash that somebody would see you wearing it and be like, is that the forgotten jacket? Is that the abandoned jacket?
But they're not wearing it. They're taking it to give to a friend. It will be gone.
They'll never see it again.
Off the premises.
Never see it again.
To the point where I would say, Griffin, even if that were the case, people would be very excited once that jacket was gone. There would be an imperceivable freedom granted upon the office as everyone breathed a little easier now that the jacket was gone.
I mean, shit. Yeah, I mean, you can't tell your friend where you got it if you do this.
Unless it was the right kind of friend.
Yeah, the right kind of friend knows at a party who's looking for a come up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I think that's what you're describing here is, you know, you're going to pop some tags.
Yeah.
You see this and you just take it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, here would be.
You just say you want it. Here's one method you might try. I call it transient motive. What this means is if someone's around when you pick up the jacket, you create a motive for that moment. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So you're like, wait, is this dry clean only? That does this. And you start talking like that, like as you're taking it and walking away. And in that person's head, they're like, why were they so interested? I'm moving on with my life.
Right.
And then at that point, you're clear, right? And then it's not like, why are they holding the jacket? It's just sort of accepted at this point. You are holding the jacket.
You could also style yourself as like a hero in this moment and loudly as you pick it up announce like, fine, I'll take care of it.
Yeah, that's good. Or like, if no one else will do it, I'm taking it to Lost and Found.
Right.
And then you start walking away and people are like, where is Lost and Found?
Lost and Found. But that's the name of your friend who's legally changed it to Lost and Found. So then you're not lying.
I'm taking this to the jacket kitchen where you can donate your used jackets to be eaten.
Fair. Now, I will say that the only hiccup here is if this is a very seasonal jacket, perhaps a Green Bay starter jacket from 1998.
Or like Mary Arbor Day.
Sure. And this, it has been there for the 8 months since the end of that season, right? And we're just about to come back to the season at which it will be appropriate. Because then the previous owner may for the first time realize they were without it. However, at that point, I would say if 9 months or so passes, the reasonable statement of no one knows where your jacket is at this point makes complete sense.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that the person who owns the jacket is coming back for it. It is this thing of like the nobody wants to take the initiative. And I think that's where you could kind of have a little wiggle room here. Like it, you're just making some space.
Yeah.
You're just making a little space. It's one less thing for people to have to work. For people to have to look at.
Absolutely. It's like if like there was a car parked on your street for like 8 months and no one had moved it. So you just stole it, right? Because that's a parking space that someone else could have, right? Absolutely.
Oh, shit. I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
Go.
Every day you come into work.
You take a little bit of the jacket. No,
every day you come into work, you take your jacket off, put it on a hanger, leave the jacket there. Eventually, you will arrive to work. And there will be no available hangers.
Uh-huh.
And you will say, hey, is this anybody's? Is it okay if I move this so I can hang up my jacket? One of my other jackets? Then everyone will be like, yeah, go for it. And then you take it down off the hanger. You can take it away. No one will question it.
Now listen.
And then you hang your jacket up. Now you have a problem.
This is a brilliant idea,
it's
Justin.
It's a little bit of a frying pan fryer situation.
There's two issues here.
Now there's 20 jackets. There's,
well, but the problem is that they work at the Coat Hook Emporium. And so
they're always worse.
Yeah. The number of jackets you're going to have to invest in here, whew, it's going to make for a heavy lift. But at the end of the day...
I got to throw a wrinkle into this question. You know me, Mr. Wrinkle Tosser. I love to get into these questions and add a wrinkle.
That's why they call you that.
Yeah. Okay. Hello, brothers. There's a jacket hanging up at my work that, as far as anyone knows, is ownerless. That the phrase in there, as far as anyone knows, suggests that you have gone cubicle to cubicle and said, do you know who owns this? And every single person without fail has said, no, I do not. There is no way that you have conducted such a canvassing. There has to be a layer of assumption here of, well, I don't know who this belongs to, and a couple of people I've talked to doesn't know who this belongs to, so nobody here knows who this belongs to. It got there somehow. Someone must have left it here when they quit, but you don't know wicked for sure, though.
Because what if there's a chance that that was somebody's and then they died in like a horrible accident and now the jacket is left there as a memorial and it's been there for years and years and years.
Oh, okay.
So only like the oldest employees remember, but God damn it, they remember. And you haven't asked them because they're in upper management now because they put the fucking time in, which you wouldn't understand, kids these days. But if you take that, they're going to be like, who took old Bill's jacket? No, that was old Bill's old Ed Hardy jacket. He loved Ed Hardy as much as he loved saving kids from car wrecks.
You could come in dressed up in a costume, big, you know, leather vest, big bushy beard, a clown cap on, fucking wellies on your feet, and fucking cool disco pants, and two different gloves, and you walk in and you pick up the jacket and you said, there it is. And then you leave. And then everybody else who's there would be like, oh, I guess that like really weird guy is who that jacket belonged to. Well, mystery solved. Can't wait for fucking Tyler to get back so he can tell. Wait a minute. Was that person roughly Tyler's size, but dressed up in a bunch of wild garments that they've been stealing from all the other jobs they've ever worked? Damn. Almost got away with it, too. I don't know that we're going to be able to help with this one, but I think I do have...
I feel like we tried, though.
We tried really hard. I do have one that we might be able to help with, and it's if we do approach the wizard, Taylor sent this in, thank you, and it's a WikiHow called How to Choose a Nickname for Your Car.
Oh, thank fuck.
Yeah, I've had so many fucking cars now, like...
Braggart.
Three, and I have not gotten nicknames for any of them.
Ooh.
At least none that like I would like put out into the world, maybe in my heart of hearts.
The problem for me has always been that I didn't know their given name, right? So like if I wanted to call him Johnny, right? But what if their real name isn't Jonathan, right? And now it's just fucking weird.
Right. And it's like also that I don't drive that much. Like I use my computer a lot more and I didn't nickname my computer.
Oh, you didn't?
No, it's just a computer.
Mine's Jeremy Bits.
Jeremy Bits, okay.
Yep.
And if you
that was also my stage name during my ill-fated stand-up comedy career.
Yeah, Jeremy Bits.
I wouldn't call it ill-fated, Juice.
I had my mind.
You were runner-up season three of Last Comic Standing.
And you got a Comedy Central 30-minute stand-up special.
I did Leno, but it's when he was at 10 p.m.
Yeah. I thought it was fucked up, though, how Leno really made you censor a lot of your darker stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot of your more fucked up stuff. And it wasn't even like that the words you were saying were like banned by, you know, anybody. It was just the concept.
He didn't like the idea. He said,
challenging.
I don't like the ideas.
Make people think about their deaths.
Yeah. I don't like those ideas. Do different ideas. And it's like, Jay, that's not really how... Do some Cars ones.
Yeah.
So here's how to brainstorm. Speaking of Cars ones, here's some good ways to come up with car names. Think of the name of a beautiful person.
Okay.
One of the most common ways to name your car is to think of a celebrity or model you like and give it the same name. Awesome.
Oh, Oscar Isaacs. It's perfect.
Travis, I'm worried, Juice, that Travis is going to be freaky good at this.
Yeah, I don't like it already, the way it's going. Yeah.
Some good names include Claire, Stella, Brock, and Venus.
Brock is good. I don't know that you can just be like, this is my car, Claire.
Yeah, well, then you may want to just chill for like 5 minutes. Because you cannot scrutinize this WikiHow in that way.
I'm just saying that's not a nickname, though. That's a name.
Yeah. Name the car after your favorite musician or cartoon character. If you're looking around for names that aren't commonly used for people, name
Carlos
the car
Santana.
Fucking hell, Travis.
Turn yourself off.
And here's the thing. It doesn't matter what make or model it is.
It could be literally anything. Car names that are based on musicians or artists include Sid, Beyonce, and Bono. But here's the thing. In the picture, the horrible pictures that WikiHow has, they got like a blue Corvette. And then there's a picture of Donald Duck just like hovering over it. This is my Corvette. Man. This is my Corvette. Donald Duck. The duck from Mickey. Add a prefix or adjective to the name. Adding a prefix like Ms. or Mr. will add some character to the car name that you choose. And there's a picture of a man, and he does have a goatee, and he's yelling, Mr. Donald.
What?
This is my Corvette, Mr. Donald.
This is my Corvette, Mr. Donald. Hey, excuse me, valet, could you go pick up Mr. Donald, please?
Good adjectives for your name include colors like white, black, or silver.
Mr. Blue Donald.
Is there a Mr. Blue Donald here?
Whose car is this? There's a bumper sticker on the back that says White Mr. Donald. Good starting adjectives for your car include things like super, baby, or old. Hey, whose car is this? It says super baby white Mr. Donald on it?
Hi, I'm looking for my car. It's named Super White Mr. Donald.
Wait, is there a comma in there? Somewhere.
Nope.
this next one's awesome because it's coming in at the very middle of this WikiHow article. Search online for other popular car names. I don't fucking know, man. I got a Kia Sorento. I tried calling it White Mr. Donald Duck, but people hated that name, so...
Mia just... Sorvino.
Fuck! Did you mean Kia Sorvino?
That works too, yeah.
Okay.
Or take it clean. Travis, take it clean.
Take it clean. Kia Sorvino.
Use an online name generator is the next one. That's the same thing. Matching the name with the style of the car. Base the name on the shape and size of the car. Look at the body of the car. If it's blocky, bulky, or powerful, a more masculine name may... If it's sleek, sexy, and mysterious, a feminine name may suit it better. God, I mean, WikiHow. And so there's a picture of a big
What's that car's ass do?
And here's a big, like, scary SUV, and it says Wolverine... And then there's a check mark. And then it says Christine. And then there's an X. Even though there's the most famous scary car ever is named Christine from the John Carpenter film.
Those two also are not comparable. Like, no one has ever said, I'm having a baby. If it's a girl, Christine. And if it's a boy, Wolverine.
Yeah. Include the maker model in the name. This is just, you can make it like a Camry can.
Well, I have a Subaru that I call Ruby Sue.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's a good one. Choose the name based on the type of car that you drive. You already fucking said that.
Yeah.
The Slamborghini, by the way, if anybody, I don't know if anyone who listens to this show has a Lamborghini, but Slamborghini is just a great thing to call
it.
It's
a pretty good one. For instance, you wouldn't want to name a slow truck with the name Supercharged or Red Hot because it doesn't represent the aesthetic of the car.
Bullshit.
Instead, they have a picture of a truck here, and the word that they have emblazoned over it is Big Rhino.
That's pretty good. But I'm just saying that this person who's written this WikiHow article has very little concept of ironic nicknames where you call like a big guy tiny, because calling a very slow truck like calling it like hot pepper or something is fucking baller. I love that.
And then name it based on color. Names include Nightcrawler, Cherry Bomb, Mr. Freeze, Cookie Monster, Frogger, Mean Green, and Creamsicle. Hop in the
all
Creamsicle.
Bad. Yeah. All wild. Have you guys ever tried to actually get it's pretty hard to get a nickname going for your car. I've done it for myself a lot.
Yeah. I know.
Out of pity. Hoops, the kid, Mr. J.
Yeah, that one we need to talk about, by the way.
That one hasn't caught on as much. It's hard for your car because, like, the only way to get it going is to, like, sheepishly admit it to your wife that there's a nickname for it. And if she's going to mention it, it'd be nice. If she, okay, never mind. Honey, I don't know why. I'm sorry. I don't know why I brought it up. Ignore me, stupid.
There's only
one. I don't know why I called my Honda a Pilot Sully. I thought it was funny because the Pilot Sully.
Yeah, no.
But you didn't think it was funny,
right? I just thought it was like, not funny, but kind of like nodding acknowledgement kind of deal. You know what I mean?
There's a mystery amongst some of my friends where our mutual friend Bobby had this white car and he went back home for a weekend. And when he came back, that white car had across the windshield, the Gambler. And now Bobby claims that the white car died and he bought a different white car that weekend. And that one happened to be the same make and model. It just said the Gambler across. That was the only difference. And I have no idea to this day if that's true or not. But that's a good way to get a nickname going for your car, to just add it to the windshield.
Yeah. Can I call my car the Michael Dukakis 1988 presidential election campaign bus?
Yeah.
Why would you?
I mean, yes.
It is that.
Oh, shit. I shouldn't. People might, like, find me at Dukakis live shows now. Damn it, Travis.
Fuck.
The only other shit on here is, like, really think about it. Write down all your options. Ask your friends. And really think about it. And then there's a picture.
Think.
There's a very Ferris Bueller-looking cartoon man laying on a pillow, and there's a thought balloon. And inside the thought balloon, it says, Silver Surfer, Bio Silver, Chroma. That's a cool fucking thing to think. I wish I could shut out the fucking demons.
Bio Silver?
Bio Silver. I wish I could shut out the demons in my head for a minute and think about shit like bad car names.
Sometimes they just come to you unbidden. You don't have to think about them. It's just how your brain works.
Yeah, you definitely have a disease system.
Yeah, it's called ADD.
Oh, boy, howdy.
Trav, car D.
What?
Car
Juice, you don't have the touch. You don't have the glow.
AD, car AD.
No.
So we're going to go to the
ADD. Because it's like all-wheel drive.
We're going on. We got to get the fuck out of here. We got to go to the fucking money zone.
Go, 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 go.
It's better with you.
I need to hire some people.
Yeah.
Yo, perfect thing for
that. But here's the thing. It's hard to pick things. I have a hard time making a decision as to what shirt to wear in the morning. A thing that has no impact on barely my life, let alone anyone else's. So the idea of having to, like, pick a human being to hire for a thing is one of the most imposing, like, terrifying, like, decisions. And that's why I'm glad that there are things like ZipRecruiter.
Mm.
Right? Because ZipRecruiter is the adult who will help you hire somebody. Right?
Right. They're the parent or teacher that can come in and make it better.
Yes, because they're going to make sure all of the, like, qualified candidates come right to you, and you can invite your top choices to apply for the job through ZipRecruiter.
Get in here, Mark. Don't be shy. I know you're the man.
You're the one.
You're the man, Mark.
Does ZipRecruiter have a feature that shows you the employee that you had dreamed of was inside you all along? Is that an option where it's like, maybe
that's
it's
a premium service? Okay. Yeah. They also have one where a group of teenage girls ask you questions about, like, what house do you think you'll have when you get married? And that helps you choose the right employee for you. But sure. That's like a billion.
It's like $1 billion.
That's like $1 billion for that. But you can sign up.
Do they have a thing where they'll take an employee that already works there and they'll take off their glasses and they're like, maybe this is them. You know what I mean?
But
like
extra for ponytail removal.
Yeah, right.
They have a feature on ZipRecruiter where you can pick an employee from a different company that you'd never hire, and then they take that employee away and make them really cool and beautiful and make them prom queen. And you're like, oh, man, now I love them. And you hire them.
And then they also have a service where if you can't find the perfect candidate that has all the skills you need, they will find like 3 or 4 different candidates that have some of the skills you need. Uh-huh. And then they put them in a big tub full of proprietary fluid, and they don't tell you what the fluid is. And that's probably for the best. And then 9 months later, out pops a single amalgamated business entity that it does. It's not, it doesn't, the shape of it is not recognizably human, but it does do like 130 words per minute.
So that's pretty good.
So that's, you can't beat that.
And you can sign up for not that service, but the other ones that we talked about early on in the ad before we went some places. If you go to ZipRecruiter.com/mybrother, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/mybrother. Please don't tell them about a lot of the stuff we said.
Please don't tell any of our... Oh, my God. Blanket statement. Don't tattle on us to any of our advertisers. Because then the shit's going to get boring. They're going to have to be like, ZipRecruiter, does a business one? If you get that, you get $10. Snooze effect, right? Hey, do you know what's exciting for me, though? What? My dreams. Because in my dreams,
you
anything.
You have a good one?
Oh, I have great dreams every night playing laser tag with Michael Dukakis. And
I had a dream recently that was a crossover between Full House and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I saved Uncle Jesse from a vampire trap. And that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's definitely who would save who if you two were in a vampire trap together. Squarespace, though, helps make your dreams a reality, except for the dream that Travis had, which I think we can all agree is total bullshit. They will help you build a website that can showcase your work, sell products and services of all kinds, promote your physical or online business, and more. And they do that with these beautiful customizable templates created by world-class designers. Everything's optimized for mobile right out of the box, so don't freak out about it. Yeah, sure. And if you want to know if your website's sick, they got analytics for it. And they do free and secure hosting. So there's just nothing to really worry about. Except, like, how you're going to spend all of your website money that you're going to get when the big bucks start rolling in. Yeah. So go to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code MYBROTHER to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
I'm Jesse Thorne. This week on Bullseye, David Byrne on the Talking Heads easing back into live performance and the magic of doo-wop.
You don't get it very much, people doing dip-a-dip-dip, whoa-whoa, ma-ma-ma-ma-ma-ma. You don't get a lot of that.
Listen to Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Griffin, you got another Yahoo for us?
Not for a while now, Justin.
Let me reach into the fucking time well. Hold on. Oh, no. I've fallen down into the time well.
Oh, no. He's an old man now, Justin.
I'm an old man now.
Oh, no. He went too far the other way, and he's a baby.
He's a baby.
Yeah, let's see if we can catch him right in the middle. I'll grab him by the back of his collar and pull him out.
Whatever, Dad. Fuck you.
Nah, damn it. I got him when he was 45.
Do you not have a munch squad, my friend?
I have like too many, and it's starting to feel like this predictable thing. It felt too predictable.
Well,
it used to be a fun energy, you know what I mean? And now I'm having to like beg for
it. I love it. I love the energy. Maybe, first of all, do the fucking song. Play the song, Eric Clapton.
Okay. A munch squad. Munch squad. This is a new theme song.
It's pretty good. Why don't you just give us some log lines and then like let me and Travis be your sort of navigators through this wire. And if there's something that
I don't fucking trust you guys to do that.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Honey Baked Ham has a new. Okay, first off, I have a just sort of an addendum.
A correction.
Okay.
What'd you do?
Quick addendum to, not a correction. Addendum.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
What'd you
Hodgman,
fuck up?
I did ask John Hodgman if the Taco Bell crispy chicken sandwich taco where they're trying to get beef going. Hodgman has made basically his entire career is based around deciding whether or not a hot dog is a sandwich.
I noticed that.
So I asked him to like weigh in on this. And he said, and this is sort of like official, as you can hear on his podcast, Judge John Hodgman, he makes these sorts of rulings all the time and they are binding. It's a taco inspired by a sandwich. That's what Hodgman told me.
All right.
And that's official.
I like that.
He said, it's like, you know, like the famous Reuben taco. Uh-huh. And then like, an hour later, he texted me, or a tuna melt taco. Uh-huh. It's
like, well, okay, we get the concept,
you.
I think.
We get, gotcha.
Do you know what happened with that last one? Is Hodgman thought about a tuna melt taco, and he's like, fuck, that'd be delicious. And then he just.
That's what he actually said, like, now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
This. I think he made himself hungry.
I think so, too. Great idea. I think he practiced the secret. I think he was visualizing.
Honey Baked Ham is doing pumpkin spice glazed turkey breast.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks, right?
No, yeah. That sounds great. Well,
What's wild is like in preparation for this limited time offering, Honey Baked did a survey and they're like, the results reinforce the demand for fall flavor starts now.
Uh-huh.
69% agree fall has the best seasonal flavors.
Yeah.
In fact, 70% of people agree pumpkin spice is an essential part of the fall season.
Okay, but those are two different things. Those are two different things because you're saying that a lot of people love fall flavors and they acknowledge that pumpkin spice is essential to fall, not that they love pumpkin spice.
65% of people said pumpkin spice flavors should be available August through October.
That's true.
And 15% want the flavor to be available all year. So 65%, 59% said spending time with family and friends for gatherings is a favorite fall activity.
Okay.
And 71% of respondents said they feel disappointed when they miss out on an experience.
Huh. What?
there had to be a bit where you're like, what did you ask?
I'm sorry. What was
I said?
One more time.
No, sorry. I said that. I just asked if you feel disappointed when you miss out on an experience.
Do you mean a honey baked ham syndrome experience or just any experience?
Just any experience. It's like, well, fuck. What's this for again? Shit, it's for ham?
Can you?
Yeah.
Did you say 75%, Justin?
71% of respondents said they feel disappointed when they, quote, I'm just reading, miss out on an experience.
I want to meet that other 29% who are so comfortable with themselves. They're like, if I miss it, I didn't need to be there, I guess.
You're just like, I would have just fucked it up. You know me.
And it's just.
It probably wouldn't even been nearly as good.
An experience.
An experience.
An experience. Oh,
an
man.
Experience. Not good or bad. Just, yeah, 30% people are like, oh.
Yeah, man, I swear to God, the aliens landed.
I was not present at the Point Pleasant Silver Bridge collapse. Damn it.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Damn.
Shit.
And I heard there was some really good ham there afterwards.
But pumpkin spice, they're doing pumpkin spice ham.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Sure. Why the fuck not?
Yeah, why not? But that's not really what I'm kind of, the thing I actually want to talk about, I just think that's funny. They did, there's like, a whole thing about what would you do? Here's what pumpkin spice lovers are willing to do make it a year-round thing, right?
I'd murder.
28% of people would shave their head bald.
Okay.
27% of people would go a month without internet access.
No, you would not.
27% of people would give up their smartphone for a year.
Bullshit.
Just learn where to buy pumpkin spice.
It's a combination of flavor. You could do it yourself.
It's like just nutmeg and cinnamon.
They sell it. You can get bottles of it in the spice aisle with everything else.
Anyway, Wendy's unveils hot and crispy French fry innovation. This is what I'm talking about. I'm going to stand up.
Yeah. Oh,
this is what I do Munch Squad for, because this is actual news. Okay. It's been fucking 11 years. Okay. For the first time, the chain is updating its number one selling product, which is, of course, the French fry.
The French fry.
The Wendy's French fry. Now, it's been 11 years since we've touched this recipe, and now we're going back to the drawing board. We're going to change it. The tag that they're using, they're sort of like, in the drive-by, you see a lot of drive-by fast food coverage, and it's just like, we just need a quote, so what do you think? And they're like, yeah, it's like a lot of places do it bad, and we're going to do it good. They say the fast food chain developed its new fry offering to put an, quote, end to the disappointing, inconsistent fry experiences that other places still serve.
Yeah.
You see what they're doing here?
They're putting their fuck up on everyone else's.
They're not changing it. You're right. Not because we fuck it up, but like other places do.
Yeah.
Now
we're going to carry more of the weight than we have already.
The ball's in their court. QSR Magazine, which is sort of my sort of like secret source, my number one source for like when I want to go behind the headlines.
Yeah. It's your secret sauce source.
Yeah. So this is has an interview with John Lee, the Wendy's vice president of culinary innovation, who is probably a genius at his job, but probably is one of the wilder interview subjects. I've seen a lot of John Lee's work, and it gets pretty wild every single time. Here's an example. It's basically one of those things where there are good.
That's already a great start.
It's basically one of those things where there were good fries out there, but there are not great fries out there. And we collectively got together and we told ourselves 2.5 years ago that good is definitely not good enough. Now, earlier in this interview, he says that they've been working on this recipe for months. So I guess there was like 2 years where they were like, we got to do something about the fries. Like,
yeah, we know. Where do you even start?
We're going to go full court press and figure out what's the best way to have our customers' backs. If fries are the most ordered menu item, we're going to create the best possible fry. So they asked John Lee, tell me how your team has been approaching reinventing the fry and to land this new hot and crispy game changer. So, hi, my name is Justin McElroy. I'm going to do my dramatic monologue is John Lee's answer to this question. And I'd like to read it for you now.
I'm sorry. Do you have a headshot that we could peruse?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, here.
Okay. Thank
and
you.
And do you? I'm so sorry. I don't want to break your flow. Yeah, do you have a butt shot?
No. It's on my Instagram. It's just all butt shots.
Can you show me your butt?
This is what you want. You get.
Now make it. Make
you
it,
gotta get the.
Make it clap. You gotta. Hey, make it clap.
You gotta get the right potato. Once you get the right potato, you got to make sure you're applying the right process. And we have a signature proprietary process that allows us to get the fry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way he puts it. You got to do it in a way that our customers want it.
Yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of forms.
What?
We've done a lot of research. There's a whole bunch of shapes.
What?
And there's a lot of different routes we could have taken to create new news.
Oh, man. Sliding doors.
The problem is to say true to our heritage and the roots and what Dave Thomas expected in terms of the perfect French fry, and then based on the research of what consumers really want, which is a fry that is hot and crispy, we actually landed on what we have today. So it looks like your standard French fry. It is not your standard French fry. The reality is sometimes they got it right the first time out in regards to shape. There's specifics around how we cut our fry. It was done right the first time around. So we didn't have to do much to fix that. But applying a proprietary process and being really careful about the partners we choose.
What?
And having the right raw materials coming in from a potato perspective.
Oh my God.
Gets us at where we're at today.
Okay, now.
And then obviously we have our ops partnerships too. They do a fantastic job. We are trained properly. We've got that. We got certified people working those fryers, and they care and are as passionate as we are about making sure that the guest experience is awesome.
Why am I
every time they bite into a French?
Why am I standing up and saluting? Like I'm saluting with my hand over my heart, and I don't know like how I got to this position.
Listeners, I want you to rewind back to the beginning of Justin doing it and listen again. And this time, I want you to picture Justin standing in front of several like cork boards with like string wrapped around like thumbtacks going from thing to thing as he points out. And just imagine that John Lee has been awake for 4 weeks prior to this interview.
I'm a ketchup eater.
And I'm not afraid to admit it.
I'm a ketchup eater. I'd like to take our pouch and I like to squeeze on a little squiggly drizzle on each fry.
Jesus-ly.
And soggy fries don't make for a very good eating experience when you try to do that. Using fries that they created are perfect for this. So if you include the delivery expectation of 20 minutes, typically 20 to 30 minutes, they're still crispy, which is mind-boggling. It's the mind.
The mind cannot conceive of the crispiness.
The mind cannot conceive.
Hey, can I say something? It is a razor-thin margin between pleasantly floppy and way too crunchy for fast food French fries. The way this man is speaking makes me think that these are going to shatter my jawbones.
Oh, yes. Yeah, baby.
So fucking crispy.
And they're heated internally, I guess, like those like hand warmers that you crunch up and then put in your gloves. There's some kind of chemical activation from inside of them that 25 minutes later, they're still warm.
And can you, I don't want you to go back.
Hey, guys, guys, you have to keep pressing forward. This is a question. You had a freight. I really don't know. Please don't ask me for context.
Okay.
I don't know what is happening in this specific part, okay? You had a phrase around the coding that was great that included the word whisper and that you didn't want it to have a barrier to the potato. Can you share just a little bit about that philosophy there? The reason why the whisper came out...
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for asking. I was hoping you would bring up the whisper.
Oh, thank you. Actually, that's so astute of you. Yeah. The reason why the whisper came out was because there are a lot of our competitors and options that we could have looked at that had heavier battering. But the beauty of our research was that it told us something very clearly that consumers really know their French fries. I love the French fry for the fact that it's natural sort of potato texture they want with a very light contrast in texture. Crisp on the outside, fluffy baked potato in the middle is how we always talk about it in our kitchens. You cannot do that if you start applying a whole bunch of batter, which may make it more crispy.
Yeah.
But you end up changing the actual overall eating experience of the French fry.
Yeah.
I know this gets deep into French fry.
Does it, John?
But this is what we do. We talk about French fries like this. If you bite into a heavily battered product, I guarantee they start to get gummy and they lose that baked potato fluffy texture in the center. Our research tells us, most consumers, that is not good.
John, honey, please come to bed. You've been up for days. John, please, the children miss you. Come home.
But Mr. Lee, why should they not be married?
Oh, sorry. No. I love her.
I love her or something.
Anyways, potatoes to all. I've got to be off.
The change is in regards to the actual battering process that we use and finding the right level batter, which sounds like it's easy.
No.
Try doing millions and millions of pounds of French fries. There's a lot of science involved.
Please, Mr. Lee, calm down. Please put the knife away.
There's a lot of engineering, so we had to get it just right.
You think you could do it?
Oh, John. This is truly the combination of our own science on a product that seems so simple when you compare it to something that looks more complex. It's actually probably the most complex project that I've worked on in my entire career.
Fucking sounds like it.
It sounds like it, John. And I love, John, can I say we've been having a lot of fun here on our comedy podcast, but I love the passion.
I love it.
I love the passion, you fucking ketchup eater.
The only thing that makes me sad about this, now that I think about it, is how much passion and love John Lee has put into these French fries and how most fucking plebs are going to take a bite of it and go, that's pretty good. And they're not going to appreciate.
They're not going to appreciate the batter. You know what else tickles me is that this recipe is being rolled out and should be in all Wendy's by mid-October. I think that you should, in the future, not denigrate your current product while you still have apparently so much of it.
Right.
I feel like people should just show up because now, you think I'm going to go to a Wendy's before this new incredible fry is available? You say people prefer it 2-1 to McDonald's. I'm not going to waste a trip to Wendy's right now when you're still serving that garbage fry.
This is your last chance to stock up.
Let me get a Baconator combo meal, but just keep the French fries because I wouldn't eat that fucking shit with my worst enemy's mouth.
Could I get an IOU for the French fries that I can turn in like mid-October?
Yeah. Actually, just take the French fries and pull out your waistband like a silly clown and dump them down your pants because you're a clown.
Yeah. And dance and say, I'm a bad fry clown boy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Oh, is it too late to order a small frosty?
I bet they are going to be pretty good, though.
Oh, yeah. Sounds great.
No, they're going to be great. They know what they're professionals. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. We hope you're going to rush out and get some of those Wendy's fries. They did not pay us to say that.
No, start waiting now. You got about
45
days.
Don't get any fries. Yes,
don't.
You know, fall's just around the corner. So, you know, if you got any questions for Richard Stink, he's going to be visiting, you know, he'll... The new season means a new visit from Richard Stink. So if you got questions about fragrance, you know, please be sure to pass those along.
Hey, we have some really exciting news. We're doing a My Brother and Me live and virtual September 24th.
Take that, Eric Clapton.
Yeah. It's going to start at 9 p.m. Eastern time with Sawbones opening, which is very exciting. Tickets are on sale now for $10 at bit.ly/MBMBAMvirtual. And there will be video on demand available for that for 2 weeks after the show. So even if you can't make that time, go check it out. bit.ly/MBMBAMvirtual. Also, we got new merch over at McElroyMerch.com. Our pin of the month is Dr. Shaq from Adventure Zone Aether Thief, which benefits the World Central Kitchen, which uses the power of food to nourish communities and strengthen economies through times of crisis and beyond. We've got a Phantom Sea Coast Co. pen, excuse me, and some Adventure Zone temporary tattoo flash sheets designed by Lynn Doyle and benefits the Asian Prisoner Support Committee, which provides direct support to Asian and Pacific Islander prisoners and to raise awareness about the growing number of APIs being imprisoned, detained, and deported.
Hey, thank you to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. It's a jam, a bop, a slap. It rips completely and fully.
It's
you can listen to the whole version of it now. Watch the music video that we participated in on the McElroy Family YouTube channel. And thank you, Montaigne. It brings me such joy. Is that it, though? Is that it for the show?
I mean, you need to do your final Yahoo.
I mean, other than that.
You have a final Yahoo.
Yeah, sure. This one was sent in by Paul McCartney.
Whoa!
Yeah, he listens. And he is really plugged into it. He's a very active Yahoo user. He has 100,000 Yahoo points. Thank you, Paul. Sir Paul. It's asked by Yahoo Answers user Tramp. Tramdurkins.
Tramdurkins, okay.
And Tramdurkins asks, I'm thinking about starting a new... I'm thinking about starting a new... Hello. I'm thinking about starting a new...
Just do it. Just read it.
Why?
Off your screen.
Sorry, guys.
You gotta scroll down.
The fucking wire came loose. Hold on. Okay, here. It's loading now.
Okay, good.
Hello. Where do I start a new... Oh, never mind. I have a different question. Where can I download the all-nude episode of According to Jim?
I'm Travis. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother and Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.
Hey, podcast fan. We'd like to get a better idea of who you are and what you care about. So we have a quick favor to ask. If you have a few minutes to spare, please go to MaximumFun.org/adsurvey. There, we've got a short anonymous survey that will take about 5 minutes to fill out. Plus, if you finish it, you'll get a 10% discount on merch at the Max Fun store. Max Fun shows have always relied on support from our members and always will. This survey will help keep the few ads we do run interesting and relevant to you. That's MaximumFun.org/adsurvey. A-D-S-U-R-V-E-Y. All one word. And thanks for your help.